So I'm pleased to have at the Caregiver Smile Summit today my good friend, I think I can say that now, and colleague, Robert Bowles. He's a retired pharmacist. He owned and operated a pharmacy in Thomaston, Georgia. After being diagnosed with Lewy body dementia in 2012, he founded United Against Dementia, where he has been an active advocate, educator, and supporter. Robert quickly discovered that after his own personal diagnosis, a person with dementia has to find his or her own way to move forward and continue to live life with a purpose. The personal turn of events and his passion for helping people became his inspiration and his purpose, and I can tell you he inspires me. Welcome, Robert, to the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Oh, thank you, Anthony.
All right, let's get started. So tell me, you know, people often confuse dementia, and a lot of times in our society, they just say Alzheimer's, and yet the broad category is dementia, and you have a specific kind. Why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about what Lewy body dementia and Lewy body disease is?
Right. Sometimes it's, and fairly often, Lewy body disease is misdiagnosed as Alzheimer's or either Parkinson's disease. These two things are actually part of it, although it's a different protein. It's a different protein than what Alzheimer's is. It has an alpha-synuclein protein, and of course, it acts differently.
So what is the difference between Lewy body disease and other types of dementia?
Well, let's look at the top three, Anthony. The first one is Alzheimer's. We know that's the number one cause. Alzheimer's typically is a slow, steady decline, although no two people will be alike. So the journey is different based on the time they diagnosed, how long they have been into the disease before it's diagnosed. But typically, it's a slow, steady decline in a curve. Second is Lewy body, the second leading cause of dementia. Lewy body is more like a roller coaster. It's up, it's down. It's up, it's in the middle. It's just bouncing all over the place. And then the third leading cause of dementia is vascular dementia. Vascular dementia is a stair-stepping type dementia. It is the type of dementia that maybe you have a vascular event and you have a decline. Through that decline, you may have cognitive changes. Through those cognitive changes, you will plateau after a while, hopefully. If you have another vascular event, then you step down. So I think you can get the image that this is bouncing, or not bouncing, but this is just stair-stepping downward.
So with Lewy body, you say it's a roller coaster. So, and it's not necessarily anything necessarily with memory. So what is the roller coaster, if you could describe what a good day is and what a bad day is and how often there's spaces in between this, you know, climbing the roller coaster and going down the hill thing?
Well, Lewy body is very unpredictable. I did a blog one time on six brains in one day. And basically that was emotional states. I woke up and I was very tired. I could barely move from the Parkinson's. Then I started laughing. Then I started giggling. My wife and I started talking. That made me happy. I was laughing. Then something happened that was really funny, and I started giggling. I went into my office and a little bit later and started working on advocacy. And in so doing, I reached a point that if I have too much stimulation, which is considered to be overstimulation, then my brain starts slowing down, and I labeled it tired brain syndrome. Then I didn't stop. I've been a workaholic all my life. I have been driven to accomplish what I set out to do. And that can be a good habit, or it can be a nightmare, especially living with Lewy body dementia. Through it, I progressed into, because I didn't stop, it just kept progressing to, it was sizzling brain syndrome, as I defined it. Then I still didn't stop, and it progressed into fried brain syndrome. That meant to me that I was no longer able to do something that I had to stop and rest. I'm thankful that I have been able to learn from that, back off without giving up, and keep going.
Yes, I remember when we were at the Dementia Action Alliance conference together, and we sort of bumped into each other the first day, and you were definitely exhausted. And to put folks, and then you had to go through the improv comedy and all that. So I give you and two Bryans the kudos for doing that.
We were exhausted by the end.
I would have hit. I'm sure you hit the floor. I mean, Brian summed it up pretty nicely when he got back up on the stage the next day about what we don't see behind the scenes. So when were you diagnosed, and what were your feelings at the time of diagnosis?
That diagnosis is etched in my brain, the date. June 26, 2012. I started my sixth year this June. The day I was diagnosed, I had gone through a process that had involved eight physicians in 18 months to receive my diagnosis. There were a lot of other things happening that really put together the picture of the diagnosis, and it all came together finally. But because it had been so long, I was able to tell my wife that it is what it is and everything will be okay. Now, I think most of us realize that's pretty superficial. That's just an outlet for, I finally know what's going on. And, you know, I was numb, but I was saying that, but that was because of my faith. But it progressed. That first year was very difficult. The hallucinations and all the symptoms of Lewy body began to manifest themselves in even additional ways. And I began to have more struggles. And I reached a point where I was, I told Judy, I feel like a convicted murderer. The physician entered the charges. The jury found me guilty, and the judge issued the death sentence without appeal. And that's a very somber moment of wondering if you can go forward.
So how did you go forward? How did you overcome those feelings?
I guess it was about 15 months that it took me to get out of it. And I just woke up one morning at 1 a.m. and I went into my office. And as I said, I've got a strong faith, and I just cried. I just sat there and cried. And I realized, I came to a point that I realized my pharmacy, as a pharmacist and owning my own store, and the path that I practiced pharmacy had really strategically positioned me to move forward. My mom had died in 2008 from Alzheimer's. My dad died in 1996 from vascular dementia. I knew what caregiving was about, but I just didn't want my family to go through it. I felt like I could, but I didn't want to see my family. So I was willing to, for my life, I will never take my own life, but I was willing for my life to be over. And it was not, and I was depressed the day I stuck the keys in the drugstore, that beginning, you know, 18 months before my diagnosis, because I didn't have my patients to love on. And that depression progressed. But through it, I realized that I could take the, it resorted back to care. And it came to the point that I said, oh, just as you loved, you cared, you educated, you encouraged, and you gave hope to your patients in the pharmacy, you can transition that into advocacy and help not only persons living the disease, but since you see it from both perspectives, it opens the door to provide care assistance and ideas.
So, talk about your advocacy in a second, but let's just talk about Is Parkinson's always associated with Lewy body? Are these, tell me what the relationship of Parkinson's to this disease.
All right. Actually, LBD stands for Lewy body disease. There are two types. It's sort of an umbrella, Lewy body disease. If memory problems occur within the first year of Parkinson's symptoms, then it's dementia with Lewy bodies. And that is the particular type I have. If memory issues or symptoms occur more than a year out from the Parkinson's symptoms, then it becomes Parkinson's disease dementia. I think about 20 or 25% of people with Parkinson's will likely go on to become have dementia with it. Both of them have the same protein, the alpha-synuclein protein.
Well, thanks for that clarification. So you mentioned earlier in the beginning you were having a lot of hallucinations and dreams. Tell me a little bit more about that. Is that particularly associated with this disease?
Yes. A high percentage of people with Lewy body dementia, in fact, is considered a core diagnostic feature. Usually it's small animals, small people, or objects. Before I was diagnosed, I remember calling Judy. I was sleeping 16 to 20 hours a day before diagnosis. And I would call Judy. She gave me a bell to keep by the bed in the bedroom. And she would be at the other end of the house, and I could ring it, and she would come check on me, because during that time, sleeping that much, she would wake me up and tell me I needed to eat, brush my teeth, go to the bathroom, and I'd fall back asleep through that time. But through it, I remember calling her one day and ringing the bell, and she came back, and I said, "Sugar, there's a baby in the bed, and it's under the cover. And that baby is going to die under this cover." She told me it was not there, and I accepted it that time. Another time, I told her that there were a puppy in the bed. And I said, "You know, I don't want a dog in the bed with me." And as it turned out, she told me again that it was not. And I accepted that. The person hallucinating will not always accept it. And this becomes a good opportunity to know how to approach that. But the third one that came, and all these were coming all pretty close together. The third one were gold spots on my leg. And she said, "They're not there." And I said, "Yes, they are." And she said it again. And that becomes a trigger for me. That here she is telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. And I felt like I did. She went and got a flashlight and shined it on my leg. And when she did that, I said, "I see," and not that.
That's just, wow. I mean, anybody viewing this, would say, "Wow, you know, I don't know how I would get through these things." And yet, what you did, and you not only got through it, you made a conscious decision, partly in the beginning because of your family, to go on. But what triggered this real kind of advocacy for you?
Yeah, and let me mention one other thing with that. You can have audio and visual hallucinations with Lewy body, and you can have smell hallucinations. That's very common in Lewy body, all three of them. I have had audio and visual going at the same time. I've even called the police and told them people out are out in the yard, and there were no one there. The advocacy was when I woke up and realized that I didn't care where I lived or not, that I did not want my family to go through this. My family has had a difficult time accepting the diagnosis, and I think that's very common. But I didn't want them to go through it. And that's when it came to me that I could take that love, care, education, encouragement, and hope and help families. And it was like a light bulb went off. It was like, "Oh my, it was at this same time that I wrote four things that led me to that thought. And I took the acronym ASAP. And I would suggest that this pertains to both the person living with dementia and also caregivers. It's important to accept the diagnosis unconditionally. It is easy to accept the diagnosis sometimes and sometimes not academically. We hear the words, they're in our head. We don't like it, but they're in our head. And we may accept the fact that they're in our head, but we also may be denying it. To me, what the transformation was when I decided to accept it in my heart. Heart is emotions. And that's when the water hits the wheel. And that was a turning point for me. The second thing that I realized was that I couldn't lay in the bed, that I would drown sitting there. Not physically, but just emotionally. I would drown like I was sitting on the pot. At the same time, I realized I've always been outgoing, but I was not outgoing. So I decided, you've got to be social. You've got to get out and be around people. They are your lifeline. They will lift you up. Then I said, oh, attitude. You know, maybe it's hard to find a positive attitude, but you know, when I'm having a bad day, I just say, ooh, you know, wounded warriors, those that have been wounded, their families, they got a tough time too. They've made a supreme sacrifice often at an early age. So I use that mentality to have a positive attitude and purpose. We all know that purpose is essential. It's a driving force, attitude and purpose. I sometimes tell people that life is attitude and perspective. And those things brought me out of the doldrums. It lifted me up. People started reaching out to me and asking me to speak and share my story. And it's amazing, the doors that have been opened. What's the chances of me meeting you, Anthony? You know, those type things. These bonds that develop are so strong with not only others living with dementia, but also with those that are advocating. It's just a bond that can't be broken.
That's just great advice. And, you know, anyone aging, whether they have dementia or they just have a medical issue and are facing challenges, you know, the acceptance, the going on, the attitude. And I spend so many thousands of hours around seniors. There are certain traits that keep people who are living in the places a lot of people associate with death going with a quality of life, because they still have that purpose and they have the social networks and they always want to be learning something new and they have gratitude. So all
that's
of
a trait. The things going on. I challenge my brain. Actually, my neuropsych tests have gone up. But now I push my brain all the time. But now I've got to back off a little bit because you can overdo it too.
That's awesome. So one last question. Our family caregivers or care partners, I got to get in the habit of saying that word that we kept learning at the conference. What would you say to them about, first of all, coping? And then second of all, you know, for folks like you and you know, Brian and our other colleagues who on the surface still have, you know, are still doing things and have so much to offer, and a caregiver probably wants to jump in and help with everything. So how does the caregiver cope and how does the caregiver balance their own life?
Yeah, I think the care partner has to, it's just as important for them to accept the diagnosis as it is the person living with disease. And I want to reiterate that because I think that's a pivotal point for moving forward. Denial will create all kind of chaos. But for caregivers, they've got to take care of themselves. I encourage my wife all the time to get out of the house, to go take care of herself, to go out to lunch with friends, just to do whatever she wants to do. Now, I'm still at a stage where she can do that. But at the same time, if you can get someone that can come sit with you, your loved one, and allow you to, you know, statistics have proven that the life of a care partner is often shorter because of the stress that is caused by the situation. I believe with all my heart that dementia has to be one of the most stressful caregivers, if not the most stressful caregiving job there is. It's very challenging because you're dealing with multi different situations. And when you look at Lewy body in particular, and all of them can be going on at the same time, and they start before diagnosis and continue to increase, those type things puts an incredible amount of stress on a care partner. We've got a place here that has some log cabins, and my wife goes out there sometimes just to decompress and have some time for herself to do what she wants to do. One of my daughters lives about a half a mile away, and if I'm not doing well, she comes over here and stays with me. Those type things. There's another thing I'm trying to think of right now, Anthony, that care partners have to ask for help. I tell my wife, I said, and I see this from so many in my advocacy, I love and have the greatest respect for care partners, whether they be family care partners or professional care partners. But at the same time, care partners tend to be very stubborn. And stubbornness, you know, and stubbornness, and think of it this way. If you fail to ask for help when you've already, when it's already been suggested to you, and you don't do it, I would pose the question to myself, if I was in that situation, am I being stubborn? I was fortunate that in August of last year, we had Tepa Snow in Thomaston. We had 800 people there. And she addressed those 800 people. And she says, folks, I want to tell you, Judy's not doing well. She can't drive Robert everywhere he needs to go. She said, I want each of you that live in Upson County to raise your hand. A lot of hands went up. Then she posed the question, how many of you that have time would be willing to drive him wherever he needs to go? I now have 12 different drivers that are willing to drive me where I need to go. And that takes an incredible amount off of my wife.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, such great advice. And you know, I had a sister who was caregiving for my mom, and she passed. And that's when I became full-time caregiver. And you really do find out, you know, the limits. And you know, I had a great doctor who was constantly after me, even though I keep myself in good physical shape, about stress levels. And so if you have a good doctor, that goes wonders as well.
Sure does.
I just want to thank you. I want to thank you first for being a newfound friend, a colleague at the Dementia Action Alliance. But now that I've had several calls with you individually and meeting you in person, I consider our friendship a wonderful thing in my life. And just wanted to thank you again for participating in our Caregiver Smile Summit.
Oh, thank you, Anthony. And it is certainly a wonderful experience in my life.